is time for the Debate Hockey Podcast. I am the host of the show, Brad Bird, joined alongside my co-host each and every week, Blake Friars. We are here for an hour of NHL hockey talk, and Blake, it's no hard cross, mate. I shouldn't say hard. We were supposed to get like an inch, and we got like five.
Yeah, it hasn't stopped snowing. It's supposed to snow 5 centimeters today, 4 to 7 tomorrow. It's we've been pretty lucky though. I shouldn't be talking shit about it snowing because we've got it. It's been pretty lucky, and it's been really a really nice winter. It hasn't been that cold. I think this is the first. This is the first week that it's been like in the minus teens, like minus 19 and minus 20 or whatever. Like it's been like plus one, minus four. It's been pretty mild, so I can't really complain.
We have not hit below zero yet.
Yeah. Like it's that's you sell or Fahrenheit. Yeah.
Fahrenheit. Yeah. So, we will tonight. Tonight will be our first night where we
hit. Yeah. That. Like it's supposed to be, I think, minus 27 tonight. That's probably the coldest it's been all winter here. So, yeah, it's no complaints from me. It's been awesome winter.
We are supposed to be a high of 21 below on Sunday.
Yeah.
Fahrenheit.
That's cold. It's cold. That's cold. Zero. 32 Fahrenheit is 0 degrees.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's like minus 30 Celsius. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be cold, but we'll deal
with
that. Yep. Did you see Marc-Andre Fleury dive back into his crease to stop the empty netter? And then Minnesota scores a tied up and wins it in Columbus in overtime.
That's I'm trying to think. I think who the hell was it? I remember Ryan Miller doing that against Detroit one year. I think it was his second year in Vancouver.
I was watching YouTube the other night, just flipping through, and my son and I were watching, and we were just looking at some hockey stuff. And
yeah,
we were just talking, and I showed him the replay of the Dallas Stars. I believe it was an 06.
When they missed the empty net. Yeah. Do you know how that was?
I can't remember the
play. It was, what's his name? Patrick Stefan.
Yeah. There you go. And it jumps like you can see him and he's getting ready to shoot it and it jumps. It hits a rut nice and he misses it and they go down and score. You got to look
at it. You know the story of, do you know the story behind that?
What's
you know, so if Edmonton, so if Derek Stefan scores that goal,
it's Patrick Stefan.
Or sorry, if Patrick Stefan scores that goal, Chicago doesn't draft Patrick Kane because Dallas losing that game gave Chicago the first overall pick.
That was in the playoffs, wasn't it?
No, it was not in the playoffs. No,
well, it wasn't in the playoffs.
No,
sure.
No, it wasn't in the playoffs. No. Because Hemsky went down, scored Marty Turner. It wasn't in the playoffs. It wasn't in the playoffs. But yeah, but like, go look that story up. Like Pat, like if he scores that, Patrick Kane is not drafted by Chicago because they wouldn't have the first overall pick. Like it's crazy.
Like I'm gonna look that up. I swear.
Look it up. No, it's not in the playoffs. They never play each other in the playoffs. They haven't played each other.
I swear that was the first round. I swear. I don't know.
No.
It was a long time ago, and it was unbelievable. Speaking of unbelievable, what was Hoglander doing the other night when he tries the old Zegras wannabe flip over that?
I mean,
I don't think it's a dumb play.
He tried to bank it off the goalie's back and in. He had no play. He just chipped it a little too far. The goalie wasn't even paying attention. If he puts that off the back, that's rolls down and into the net.
It was close.
He just flipped it a little too hard. I'm looking this up for you.
He should have bounced it off the top of the net.
Missed goal. It was in 2007, January 4th, 2007. Okay. Not in the playoffs. Okay.
The part that threw me off is that there was more than 3-on-3. So that was pre-lockout.
That was in regulation, Brad. There was 3 seconds left. You're right. The Oilers were down a goal.
Yes.
He missed the empty net.
Yes, I understand.
The Oilers go down. All I remember is, I forget the announcer, Hemsky scores. Can you believe what we just, like, that
got calls
burned into my brain.
Well, you know, when you look at it, I think the reason I probably thought it was the playoffs is because of the atmosphere.
It was so crazy.
Like it was, it wasn't it like a playoff go crazy? I mean, it was that.
It honestly might be one of the loudest buildings I've ever been to. That place, shook.
It's the second loudest building I've watched a game in. The loudest
place shook. Winnipeg. It's not as loud as it used to be when I was a kid. I went to a game last year, and I was like, it was pretty good, but I was like, ooh, I've been in here when it's like really loud.
Yeah, but it's circumstantial, right?
Yeah.
I've been in the Saddle Dome when it's really loud, and I've been in the Saddle Dome when it's a library.
Yeah.
Been in Vancouver. I watched Vancouver play the Minnesota Wild one night, and it was like crickets in there.
Well, it's against Minnesota Wild, the most boring hockey team to watch live of all time.
It was a Saturday night. This is 15 years ago, so they went
Do you remember? We were talking about what's going on with the Winnipeg Jets attendance here, and now they're in first place.
That was the media.
We both said like that's bullshit.
Yeah, we both wrote that off right away. But yeah,
it's six games in the year. We're talking about the attendance. Like, come on. So slow news day in old Winnipeg.
So the professional women's hockey league starts.
Yeah.
And I love their new rules. I do. I watched a little bit of it the other day It's not bad hockey. And it was about what I expected. It was good actually. And I love the body checking and stuff. And I have a girl that plays hockey, so I'm all for it. But I see them just like pumping the hell out of this 13,000 at the first game in Minnesota. And that's wonderful. But like, talk to me at game 40.
Right. Well, that's like good for them. Like I want them to succeed because they've been fighting a long time to get their own league and their own game. And they're kind of crafting it into their own, right? A little bit of creative rules and something different. And I've every single league that starts, people want to go check it out, right? It's the product that you put on the ice after. What are you going to do to sustain that? That's their next biggest hurdle.
And we're going to get a little bit more into that today's listener questions. So today on the show, we got top heavy leaves. We'll go around the league and talk World Juniors, All-Star selections, Leaf goalies, Ruthless New Year, and hits that hurt. All right, today's the day we finally get it. Nylander signs his extension, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are on the hook for $92 million.
Oof. Yeah. 69 of that is signing bonus. Cap hit of 11.5 a year.
No move, no trade for all 8 years.
Yeah. What did I say at the start of the year? What did I say at the start of this season of the podcast? I said, William Nylander, you think you're worth $11 million? Go show me you're worth $11 million. And he's done just that. He's played fantastic. I think he's got over 50 points in 37 games or something like that. He's been great. He's been productive. He's arguably been one of the Leafs' best players outside of Matthews. He does it all for them. He's kind of changed his game the last 2-3 years. He's playing a little harder, to play against this year.
I agree with all of that, but the part you just said scares me a little bit. He's playing a little harder, which means is he going to play hard now that he got the contract?
Well, all you got to do is go down back a couple of years and go look at Johnny Gaudreau and go look at Huberto. Like there's a long list. I'm not saying he's going to do that. Yeah.
And I could see you putting Gaudreau on that list. I don't know about Huberto because I do think he's been trying hard. I just don't think he's playing very good. His work ethic has been not in question.
Yeah.
So the results have been. But now Johnny Gaudreau,
Gaudreau looks like he's public skating out there.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what other way to say it. Like he's just like a Sunday afternoon pickup game in Rochester.
But one of the things on this contract, I would agree with you that he earned it this year. Like, but his previous years were a little more.
He's gotten better every year.
He has. But the part that got me is I looked at his age.
Yeah, he's 27.
And mathematically, I heard them talking today, and they said that the peak performance of an NHL player is ages 24 to 27. That's the peak. Statistically.
No, that's the no.
Yes,
no.
It is. It's a statistical peak.
Prime? Prime?
That is the prime, 24 to 27.
There's no way.
Look it
some
up.
Some guys don't get in their prime until they're 27.
That's some guys. I'm saying the average.
But Nylander's just getting better, dude. I think he's just entering his prime.
Maybe for the next 2 years. Then he's declining. No. He's declined in the last 5 years.
I think Nylander is going to be able to sustain this for 5 to 6 years of this deal.
I guess we'll see.
But
I will bet you he doesn't.
Dude, Nylander, he's changed his game. He's completely changed his game. He's gotten faster. He's developed his shot. He's been a better playmaker. He's worked on his defensive game. Like he's earned this contract. He's earned the $92 million he's got. He's gotten better every year. What's his ceiling? Is his ceiling 100 points? Can he get to 100 points? Maybe he's on pace for almost 100 this year. He's been around hovering around that 80, 87 range. Now can he take it to another level? Can we get to another gear? That's what Leaf Nation wants to see.
The problem is they still haven't won.
Listen, that's okay. We're going to dive more into the Leafs. We're going to dive more into the Leafs and their window and kind of in three questions. Okay. We're going to dive more into that.
But I have to talk about one other thing. They have five contracts that are very big on their books.
Yeah. That's kind of one of my questions too.
I did the math, right?
They got the four of the highest paid 11 players in the league.
Okay. I did Austin Matthews, Nylander, Tavares, Marner, and Morgan Rielly, right?
Yeah.
Those five players make up 62% of next year's cap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was listening. I'm not a big Bill Belichick fan, but I was listening to a guy talk about him today. And you can relate. And this is, he was talking football. So, yes, I know we're not talking hockey, but you can relate it to hockey. He said top heavy never wins. You're only as good as
your depth.
Your weakness will kill you.
Yeah.
And what has killed the Leafs?
Their stars haven't showed up in the playoffs.
No. Before that, they spent 2 or 3 years where the defense killed them, right?
Right. And then you had a year where a goalie's killed you, and then you had a year.
Yeah. So there's truth to what. Even though I don't like Bill Belichick, there's truth to what he's saying. Now, they get 62% of their cap tied up in five players. That's going to be hard to put a supporting cast of 17 players around that.
Yeah.
You do the
math. You got to hit on some guys like on ELCs. You got like Nyes has got to produce, and Topi Niemela has got to come up on the back end, and you got Timothy Liljegren there. Like you got to have some good young players that come in and can play a role for you. You have to have young players on cheap deals.
I agree completely, but that's a risky roll of the dice, isn't it?
It is 100%. It is, but
especially on the back end. Forwards.
But this is the mess that Dubas made.
I know, but Tree Living sure isn't helping it.
Tree Living's doubled down on the core for sure. He signed Matthews and he signed Nylander, but. We're going to talk about this in three questions. I got a Leafs related question, three questions.
Okay. Well, then it's time to go around the league. All right. Let's talk World Juniors for a little bit here. Canada falls with 11 seconds to go in a kind of a crazy game.
Yeah.
It was kind of a crazy game back and forth. And then.
I turned it on with 6 minutes left in the third. I totally forgot.
I just saw the third period too.
Yeah.
And we're not going to talk a lot about World Juniors here just because me and you really never got into it this year. I didn't.
No.
From start to finish, I never got into it.
No.
But you said something last episode and it got me thinking about previous World Juniors and some of the stuff that we've seen. You were complaining about, I don't want to say you said Canada got jobbed by the officials. You said you were complaining about it.
Talk about the Switzerland game?
And I gave you a hard time about it. No, I don't. I just want to touch on one thing here. I started thinking back And
sorry for that vacuum. I don't know what the hell that guy's doing up there.
The officials have played a role in a lot of World Juniors, right?
I'm telling you, it's bad.
So I'm watching U.S. Finland, right? And early in the game, U.S. gets high stick like three times in the face. Two times, which drew blood. One kind of looked like the guy bit his lip. But anyways, at least 2 minute calls, right? None of them were called. And then with like 5 minutes to go, the most ticky-tack hook by a Finland guy, they freaking call it.
Yeah.
And the U.S. gets a power play. Now, the U.S. scored on that to go ahead. And then there was a couple with 2 minutes to go, another ticky-tack call on USA to give Finland the power play.
Yeah.
Finland failed to score. But it's like, you know, why is it that way in the World Juniors?
Why do they do that
every year?
The worst call by far was in the quarterfinals, Switzerland versus Sweden. We're tied, about to go into overtime. Buddy, like, pokes this guy with the stick in the guy's back.
Oh, I saw him
away from the net. He calls it for spearing.
Yep, I saw it. Yeah.
I was like, that is the worst. I've been watching hockey for over 20 years. That is the worst call I've ever seen. The worst. And Sweden scores on the power play to win the game. Yep. The worst call I've ever seen.
But why does this happen in the World Juniors? Why are we talking
about the kids play, here? Man.
Well, I mean, you have to call penalties. But
the double IIHF is always known for that, though.
I know.
Always.
Why? Why is there no? Why is there no like?
And do you feel? I honestly feel like most times when it's overseas, it's a penalty fest, and when it's in North America, they let them play more. I don't know why I feel that way. Maybe it's because of the big ice. They want more power plays and create more goals. I don't know. I have no idea.
When the U.S. got that power play and then they scored, I was thinking to myself, oh, there is a makeup call coming here any second. And there was. It's like, how can I, as a fan just watching, like predict this so accurately? Like there needs to be Vegas odds on it because I'd be rich today because it was almost like it was scripted. And then the championship game, I did not get to watch it, but I watched the highlights and it's like U.S. dominated them, which is somewhat expected.
Yeah, and then they can't win with class at the end. You got to start a line brawl. That's classic.
Exactly. I did not like that. Dumb. But then again, I hated it when Team Canada did their garbage and was.
And then Cutter Gauthier. We'll talk about him later. We'll talk about him later. I'm sure. Starts trying to start shit in the handshake line, and it's like, what are we doing? Well,
he didn't start in the handshake. The Sweden guy started it, but he deserved it though, because I would have said I would have called him out too.
Yeah.
It was just a crappy way to end.
What are we having a line brawl for? You're up 5-2. Like just end the game. Like there's no need for that. There's no need for throwing punches and starting fights. Like come on.
No, the whole thing just had a sour ending to it.
Yeah.
Speaking of sour endings, let's talk All-Star Game for a minute here. And we've done this show 7 years, and I think we've complained about the All-Star Game 7 years. So we're not going to spend a whole bunch of time on this, but. You know, they name the rosters, and now this year, evidently, we're not playing 3-on-3 anymore. We're going to play 5-on-5, and we're going to have a draft this year so we can make somebody look like a dumbass, which is dumb, and I hate this. This needs to be the Winter Classic. The All-Star Game needs to be an outdoor game. This needs to be the Winter Classic so that it's just fun, right?
And then, listen.
Look at who's on the team. And like, there's guys like, you know, like Miller in Vancouver that's not on, but Thomas Hertl is. Oliver Bjorkstrand's on the team, but you know, there's like Elias Lindholm's on the team in Calgary. He's not even the best player in Calgary.
No, I know.
It's even close.
It's backwards, man. It's so half-assed backwards. Like I'm not even being biased, but realistically, Vancouver could have 5 All-Stars right now. Toronto could have 4 guys there, right? Colorado could have 4 guys there. You want to grow the game. You want to grow the game in the NHL. Why are we not sending the best players for the All-Star game? Nobody, and absolutely no disrespect to Oliver Bjorkstrand, nobody wants to go watch that guy play. I'm sorry. Nobody wants to go watch Boone Jenner. Nobody wants to go, like, come on. Like, and did I see that Crosby didn't even make the All-Star game? Are we joking?
Nope. Oh, no, Crosby's on there.
Okay, maybe I read that wrong.
Tom Wilson is on there.
Yeah, like Alex Ovechkin's not going to go. One of the best goal scorers of all time. I don't care. I don't care that he has 8 goals. He should be at the All-Star game. He's one of the league's best players. People go to watch Ovechkin play games. Send him to the All-Star game. And then now this stupid fan voting.
He wouldn't go anyways.
I don't know, man.
It's they got to get rid of it.
It's cool that they brought the draft back. I guess that's cool. But like,
the best thing is that we don't have to deal with this for 2 more years after this, because we'll have best on best in Olympics.
Yeah, right? Hopefully. Praying.
Cross your fingers. One more thing on Leafs before we get to some of these hits that happened this week.
We'll talk about Bedard. Bedard's one of my 3 questions, so we'll talk about that later.
Why don't you take the whole show script for your 3 questions, huh?
I only have 2.
Well,
gotcha. Don't worry.
Matt Murray. Brad Tre Living announced that Matt Murray should be good to go and will be back this season.
There's no way he said that.
He did. He said
He said he's ahead of schedule, but he's got a ways to go.
But here's his exact quote. He's got a ways to go, but everything has been really positive, and in terms of no setbacks, he has been on track and things are going well.
Oh, that's the Leaf savior.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen? I'm guaranteeing a setback here. He has to say this to protect the LTIR scandals.
Yeah, he's on Robida Island, so he can't. Yeah, I know.
But when I saw it, I was just like, oh man, this is so scripted. This is so scripted.
It's going to be like, oh, Matt Murray's, he's back practicing, and then a week before playoffs, oh, he had a setback. He's out for the season.
Crazy. Yep, it's going to be that. You know it's going to be that. Since the new year, there has been a ton of hits that have just made me shake my head. It started with Nick Cousins drilling Valimaki while he's down and just slamming his head into the boards. And I loved every minute of it later on in the game when Jason Zucker completely clobbers Cousins from behind.
Good. Perfect.
But the problem is Cousins got away with nothing.
Yeah. And Zucker got 3 games.
3 games. And I'm so puzzled by this. And Bieksa really called him out Saturday.
Well, Bieksa blasted him. Good for him, because he's had it coming.
He turtles every single time.
Yeah.
And it's pathetic. He's hurting people. And the league does nothing about it.
And I think the Rafi Torres example is amazing.
Well, why is the league not doing anything about this
guy? I don't know. Because this isn't the first time he's done it either.
He about ended Gabranson's life earlier this year.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Why is this being allowed? And part of me wonders, when does a Florida Panthers management or player on the Florida step in and say, dude, we're not protecting you anymore?
Yeah. Or, well, like, we've talked about the player safety's inconsistency at length on this podcast.
But here's another thing I don't understand about player safety. How about they always protect the perpetrator and disregard the victim? Both guys are in the PA. What in the hell?
Yeah.
What about the poor guy that's hurt now?
Yeah.
But when Jason Zucker did that, I have so much more respect for that guy now.
Yeah.
And it was dirty what he did. And he deserved 3 games. Yeah, he deserved 3 games. But Cousins, you know what? I guarantee you, all the money that he loses in those 3 games, all the players in the league are buying him beers and steak dinner next time they see him.
Yeah.
The whole league.
Well, that was like when Brandon Press speared Brad Marchand in the nuts that one year. They're like, oh yeah, there we go. Yeah.
The other controversy that happened this week, they got blood's boiling everywhere, was Saturday night in a rivalry that's just really, really out of control right now. The Winnipeg Jets, Minnesota Wild. defenseman.
I hope they play each other in the playoffs.
Oh my God. It is like the best rivalry right now. But Brandon Dillon cross checks Wild's Kirill Kaprizov twice, and he hurts him. He gets a week to week upper body injury. And then on Sunday they play, and Ryan Hartman sticks goal Perfetti in the face. And Perfetti goes to the media and says that Hartman told him it was coming. It's retribution for the Kipper or Kaprizov. You hurt our star. We hurt you. Hartman gets fined $4,427.
No, it's because they couldn't use the video or the mic'd up audio.
It's a rule in the CBA. Yeah. You can't use mic
to protect the players. Yeah. You can't use that against players.
But and I don't disagree with that, but I still think it's like, why even find somebody $4,000 if you're gonna find somebody? Just leave that out of it. But that goes back to the protecting the players. But then on Sportsnet the other night, did you see the argument? And I loved it. I loved it.
Listen, man. I don't know. Props to Jen Botterill for standing in there and going up against the old boy from the old boys club.
Do you think she's right?
I see both sides. I see both sides. I don't know. It was pretty dirty, but one part of me says, why did you pick Perfetti?
He's a young star.
Why didn't you do that to Shifley or somebody on the, like, or
the retribution would be more with Shifley.
I guess.
Right.
It was so dirty though. Oh God.
But you know what? Here's what I like about this. Okay. We just said it when we were talking about the Cousins thing. This league is better when the players protect each other, right?
Well, the game polices itself eventually.
Is this not like a policing it though? And when Jennifer Botterill went down this rabbit hole, I'm like, you know, there's a difference between women's hockey and men's hockey, and this is one of them, right? This is professional sports. Like, okay. I'm serious. Like, if my star is getting run, I'm going after your star. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, but I don't agree with two adding somebody in the face. I don't.
He didn't.
That. He had no regard of winning the faceoff. He just thought, puck up, drop right out, high stick right in the teeth. It's bullshit. That stuff doesn't belong in the game. I don't care if it's retribution. And
why? Okay, so let me ask you a question.
If you want to go two on the guy in the back, the legs, go for it. You want to slash him in the wrist? Go for it. Don't stick a guy in the face on purpose like that.
Well, the league didn't do anything about it.
Because they couldn't.
Why?
Because they said they couldn't suspend him because they couldn't use the audio.
Yes, the audio. They can use the video. They saw him spear him right in the face.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's silly.
They can't use the audio, but they can. That's not what they're asking. They don't. How many suspensions do we see a year where there's no audio? It's like just the hit.
Yeah.
Right. But the league doesn't do that. So, and that's why this happens when you don't police it. This is what the result that you get. But I love that argument. I thought it was amazing.
We haven't had an argument like that on TV in a long time.
Didn't it make for good TV?
Just fired up. Well, Sportsnet's over here tweeting popcorn emojis. So I click on it. I'm like, what the hell is this? And all of a sudden, I was like, pop my feet up. All right. I'm tuning in for this 5.5-minute debate. I was like, all right.
That's good. One quick thing. You said you want to wait for the Bedard thing for three questions. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Did you see Philip Tomasino slew foot Calgary defenseman Dennis Gilbert the other night?
I did not.
Did you know?
I did not see that.
Slew foots him going into the boards, kicks his back legs out from underneath him, and gets a 2-minute penalty. And Gilbert is out now. Completely knocked him out on the ice because he went straight back and hit his head.
Yeah, he get taken off on a stretcher?
No, they got him off, but he was in la la land all the way off the ice. But I don't know. Like, slewfoots are one of those things where it's like it's pretty easy to see the video on that, you know.
Well, that's a 4-minute penalty too, slewfooting. I don't know why they never call that.
Just goes uncalled, and it's like, come on. I don't know.
Did they call it tripping or slewfooting?
That's a good question. I should look that up. They probably called
it tripping. Slew footing's 4 minutes.
Yeah, they probably called it tripping, but not a good look. Anyways, he's out. A big thanks goes out to our sponsors, Apparel Bandits. Get your custom team apparel at apparelbandits.com. Everything from hats to jerseys to bags to workout pants, stocking caps, everything you can get at apparelbandits.com. Blake, it is now time for three questions.
It's time for three questions.
All right, now you get the floor. I asked three questions last week. You get it this week. And evidently, you took half of my content from the script today for these three questions. So these better be some damn good
questions. Okay, first of all, question number one, what is your overall thoughts on the Bedard hit? Like, that's what was your overall thoughts?
You want to know my honest thing? I feel awful that a young kid in the league that's a superstar is out with a broken jaw.
Yeah.
That being said, this is a completely legal hit. And the reason this happened is completely 100% Connor Bedard's fault. In the WHL, you can Jimmy job through the middle with your head down. And if you're Connor Bedard, you'll be able to get around those guys. Well, in the NHL, it doesn't work that way. And the big defenseman, Smith,
caught him with his head down. Let
Bedard run into him, basically.
Yeah.
Completely legal check. I thought what Luke Richardson said after it was as classy as you're ever going to get from an NHL coach.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate thing. I thought Foligno did the right thing. It's unfortunate that he breaks a finger defending him.
Yeah.
I think it was one of those you had to fight.
Yeah.
I thought all in all, quite honestly, it was
just a hockey play with a bad result. That's what it is.
It is. What I don't understand though, and who knows, maybe he'll be back soon. Like, don't players play with broken jaws a lot?
Yeah, I mean, you probably put a bubble on, but
for sure.
Well, every fracture is different, though. I don't know if he has to get his jaw wired shut, or I'm not sure.
I don't either, but I know players have played with their jaws wired shut. I don't know. That kind of caught me off guard a little bit, but it's just an unfortunate result on 100% clean hit, and he'll think twice. This will help his career.
Yeah. Oh, he'll think twice before entering the zone with his head down.
Yes.
Okay, so Nylander signs an extension, okay? So this summer, Mitch Marner and John Tavares are eligible to sign extensions, okay? What would you do if you were Brad Tree Living, and how would you approach that? Because you can't afford to keep everybody.
There's no way they're signing Tavares. Can't afford to. And I don't think they can sign Marner. I think they're going to have to. I think they pick their guy.
I could see Tavares signing for a very, very, very team-friendly deal.
Why would he do that?
Because it's in his hometown, and he wants to help the team win.
He wants to win a Stanley Cup, I hope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you sign for less? You're about to be, what, 34 years old?
Toronto has fielded one of the best rosters in the National Hockey League 3 years in a row and not won.
I know.
What makes you think that's going to change this year or next year?
Well, you gotta get some players to take some less money here. Like, that's the problem.
What? Okay, then why didn't Nylander take less money?
I think that's pretty fair value for him.
Well, why didn't he take less?
Like, I don't
remember the team. Why did
I don't he take? Think, I don't think Matthews is worth 13.25.
So what? Well, he's one of the best players. He's got a better chance of Ovechkin beating Gretzky. He's higher than him. So what? I mean, how do you argue that?
I think the Leafs are gonna visit a Nylander trade this summer. A Marner trade this summer. I think they're gonna sit down and they're gonna look at their options.
They can afford him.
Huh? No, I'm saying they're gonna trade Marner.
I know what you're saying, but here's the deal though. What are you going to get in return?
Because if you trade him this summer, you'll get a lot for him. You'll get a lot for him.
But you can't get anything that costs money.
Why can't you? He makes 10.9 mil for the next 2 years.
Blake, They've got 60 next year. They've already got accounted for 62%.
Okay. If you can turn Marner, into a $5-6 million defenseman and picks and prospects, I think you do it. That's what I would do.
They've got $33 million for 17 players.
I know.
And you got to get a goalie one of these years, right?
Well, we'll see. I don't know.
They're in big trouble. They're in big trouble. Top.
Okay. I got four questions today. So we're going to do four questions. What was your thoughts on the Cutter Gauthier for Jamie Drysdale swap? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Cutter Gauthier drafted last year by the Flyers in the first round. Went up to Tortorella and said, "Hey, can't wait to play for you. Can't wait to be a Philadelphia Flyer." Then all of a sudden now, he doesn't want to sign. He avoided them. He didn't talk to them. And now they turn a disaster situation into a really, really good right-handed defenseman in Jamie Drysdale. Like, I think Danny Briere did a hell of a job.
Absolutely, he did. He's getting something that's
going to help him. He got dealt a shit hand is what happened.
Yeah, it's just no different than the Adam Fox thing in Calgary years ago.
Well, right? It's almost like it hasn't turned out great, but it's kind of like the Tkachuk with Tree Living in Calgary. Tkachuk wanted out, and they turned it into that.
That hasn't turned out horribly because Uyghur is one of the better defensemen in the league.
But so Huberto hasn't turned out.
I agree. But Uyghur was a throw-in.
Right. and then he got that Cole, whatever his name is, in a first.
Quinn.
So I thought it was just an interesting trade. I didn't know all the details when I first saw it. I'm like, why would they trade Cutter? Why would they trade Cutter Gauthier? Then I read it's like, oh, he refused to play there. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But if you're Anaheim, you got Mace McTavish, Cutter Gauthier down the middle. You got Zegras now. Like, that's a young core coming together.
But you lost a good defenseman there.
But they got the rise of that Michkov D-man. I think that made him a little bit expendable.
There's no way a right-handed defenseman's expendable ever.
But for the right price, he's a good player.
Yeah, but he's an unproven player, right?
He's in college, for sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Question four or 3B, maybe if you want to do. If the Jets are missing anything, what is it?
Luck.
No, luck. What do you mean luck? What are they missing? You're shaking your crystal ball for the Winnipeg Jets. What do they add? What do they need? Chris Tanev. You've been talking to my dad?
No.
He just said the same thing to me today. That was a good question. We had a good heated debate.
They also need luck.
Well, they need if I'm shaking a crystal ball, I'm shaking for Kyle Connor to get back ASAP.
I feel like the Winnipeg Jets, and I cheer for them. I feel like the Winnipeg Jets, every time they get into the playoffs, something goofy happens.
Yeah.
They get unlucky. And I tooted this horn for years that they're a top contending team, and this year I had them in the playoffs, and I know a lot of people wrote them off this year, and I just had a weird feeling about this team this year when they got Hellebuyck, and I just, no one saw that coming. You know, if I think back, and I'm as guilty.
Everyone was like, oh, like, what are they going to do? They're going to rebuild, retool, then boom, they signed those two out of the gate. It's like, okay.
And people argued it too. They were like, oh, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And it was a good idea. And that is the one signing, when I look back at the last 5 years, right? That is the one signing that shocked me more than anything.
Which one?
The Hellebuyck Scheifele extensions.
Yeah.
Because both players said they wanted out.
I don't know if they said that publicly.
Well, they did not make any motions or notions that they wanted to be there. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And then boom. That signing's hit. And I know it shocked you too, but I mean, that was a signing that when I look back on it, I'm like, wow, I did not see that coming.
Yeah. Yep.
What are you saying? Great minds think alike, your dad and I? Is that what you're trying?
I guess. I don't know.
All right. I got a listener question for you that's an interesting one. The Professional Women's Hockey League is off to a great start. What is the one move that this league cannot make if they want to sustain long-term success?
That they cannot make?
They cannot make this move. It'll kill it. That's my paraphrase.
I wasn't prepared for that.
No, I know. That's why I don't tell you the listener question before. I had time to think about it. I've come up with two.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, here's my two. I think the first thing, and I'm cheering for this league.
Yeah.
But the first thing is they cannot grow too quickly.
Right. That's a good point. The NHL was sat at six teams for a long time.
The second thing, it is in the utmost importance that they develop cool jerseys and nice logos
and
by the
and team names.
Yes, and team names by the beginning of next season.
Yeah, you got to grow your brand.
Got to get the brand going. The third thing, and this probably is the most important, second being don't grow too quick. The women's game, as much as it hurts feelings, is never going to withstand the popularity or even come close to the popularity of the men's game that we've watched for 100 years.
Yeah.
Don't try to compare yourself. Don't try to be close. Try to be yourself.
I got
to
build your own.
Try to be yourself. You're not going to make big money. And it's okay. Look at the Canadian Football League. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
Be who you are and build your brand.
Yeah.
And it will be sustainable. Sustainable. That's what you need to go for. Sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
Whew, that was a lot of hockey talk.
We're good on time, though. 43 minutes. That's good.
We're back again next week. And I am betting next week that we are going to have a training talk.
Think so?
I just got a gut feeling. It's just my guess. Just my guess. But it's getting to be that time of year. And I think next week we are going to have a trade talk.
I hope you're right. I like talking trades. Can we get some breaking news every once in a while, man? I always be looking at my phone. Nothing. It's always after the pod. It's always after the pod.
Wait, always.
And then we got to wait another week to talk about it.
Oh, that's where the trade will come. Maybe the trade will be.
Oh, it's nice to get the Nylander signing before the pod. That was
great. Good time. All right, hockey fans, enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back again next week. More great hockey talk. Hockey talk every week. The Debate Hockey Podcast.
Hockey fans, that was another great episode of The Debate Hockey Podcast with Brad Berut and Blake Friars. Keep it locked on debatehockey.com for podcast updates. Subscribe on all the major podcast players and never miss an episode. Controversial NHL hockey talk every week presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.